be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we do not know where they have put him." And so Peter and the other disciple went out and came to the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and arrived first. He bent down and saw the burial cloths there, but he did not go in. When Simon Peter arrived after him, he went into the tomb, and he saw the burial cloths there, and the cloth which had covered his head, not with the others, but rolled up in a separate place. Then the other disciple also went in, the one who had arrived first, and he saw and he believed. The Gospel of the Lord. One or two words about the Gospel, and then we'll look at John very briefly. This gospel traditionally has been used to emphasize the primacy of Peter. Mary Magdalene, having witnessed the absence of Christ from the tomb, runs to tell Peter and the others, but she names Peter. And then when Peter and the other disciples run to the tomb to discover the absence of the body of Christ, the other disciple gets there first, but he does not go in. He waits, and Peter goes in first. And this text was one of the ones used to affirm the primacy of Peter. He was the leader, the first pope, and this text has been used, the Council of Trent, to affirm that. John is an interesting character, and his gospel reflects that. In the Gospel of John, he emphasizes Jesus' divinity, very little about the humanity of Jesus. His whole presentation of the gospel is to tell us about the divinity of Christ. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when they come to arrest Jesus, they say, "Whom are you looking for, Jesus of Nazareth?" John tells us they fell down before him, emphasizing his power. And Jesus says in the Gospel of John, "Nobody takes my life from me. I lay down my life and I take it up again." He's always in charge. There's one section in John's Gospel that seems to emphasize the humanity of Jesus. That's in chapter 11. Where you have the raising of Lazarus, and Jesus weeps at the tomb of Lazarus, and the people observe, see how he loved him. It seems to give us an insight into the attachment that Jesus had to Martha, to Mary, and to Lazarus. Having said that about John's gospel, the person of John is interesting. In chapter 2 in Mark's gospel, when Jesus calls the 12, and he calls James and John, and they're named as Boanerges, meaning sons of thunder, give us the impression that they are intense and inflamed personalities. Named sons of thunder, they have a certain volatility about them. That will appear just one place, and that's in the Gospel of Luke, and Jesus is passing through Samaritan territory on his way to Jerusalem. And of course, the Samaritans are very hostile toward the Jews. And when the Samaritans discover Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, they do not offer him hospitality. At which James and John say to Jesus, "We should bring down thunder upon them and destroy all of them." Again, It's an insight into the intensity which they have. There's a spirituality about John that appears in this gospel, that he was very close to Jesus. The beloved disciple is a different conversation. I think we've discussed that many times in the past, that in fact John is not the beloved disciple. The beloved disciple is an image of a disciple, any disciple, you, any disciples of the Lord. The beloved disciple is at the foot of the cross, and the presumption was this is John. Maybe it was, but it's a beloved disciple. Tradition has it that John went to Ephesus, and he died in Ephesus. There's also some conversation about John being the author of the book of Revelation. He's named John of Patmos, but most scholars believe that's not John the Apostle. John of Patmos, Book of Revelation, is a different John. So when we come to this fellow, the mystical John the Apostle, one of the things that's rather interesting about him is he's very human. That will appear in a number of cases, especially in Luke's Gospel, where they want to bring thunder, destroy the Samaritans. It shows that the closest disciples to Jesus Christ are extremely human. Jesus didn't pick the most devout, the most honest, most generous to be his closest collaborators. He picked those who were just merely human, like us. It's a consoling thing to consider that the chosen ones, the blessed ones, the ones called to make the first proclamation of Jesus Christ as Messiah and Lord are actually people who are entirely human, have all sorts of failings and limitations. And this somehow teaches us that there is a place for each and every one of us in a kingdom in which we will be called disciples.